I'm not pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another Drive to Work at Home Edition. So I tend to use my time at home to do interviews. And obviously today I have another interview. So I have Lindsay Bartel, who is in charge of the secret lair. Hey, Lindsay.
Yes. Hey, how's it going, Mark? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Okay, so we're going to talk all about secret lair. And we have a lot to talk about. But I'm going to start with the elephant in the room, I guess. So the number one complaint I get when people complain to me about Secret Lair talks about, hey, why can't we go back to print to demand? Why do we have the current system? So we want to talk a little bit about why the current system exists.
Oh man, no warm up, just right to the hard question.
Right to the heart of it.
I know, that's okay. That's totally fair. I'm ready. Okay, so it's a really great question. Truthfully, and I don't want to be too precious about wording, but Secret Lair really hasn't been print to demand, except for like in the very, very, very original kind of early days of it. And at that point, we would post print based on the orders that came in, and people would be waiting 4, 5, 6 months, or in the case of one infamous commander deck, almost a year to receive their order. It was pretty universally hated. Everyone was like, why is this so slow? I'm getting my Halloween spooky thing in the middle of April. This is lame. So we have continued to try and iterate and improve things. We then moved to this era that I refer to as the time box demand era, where basically we gave you two dates. And if you showed up between those two dates, we would honor the demand. In order to get faster shipping times, we would have to pre-print inventory. That was the only way we could do it. So we would just print an absolutely enormous amount of inventory to make sure that we had enough to not run out under any circumstances. Because if you have to actually go back to reprint, it's extremely expensive. It's extremely disruptive. And then you get the worst of all worlds. Then people are, again, waiting months to get their thing. So I think that's what people are referring to when they say print to demand is the time box era. That era created a lot of waste. It created just an excess inventory that wasn't sustainable for our brand. So that's why, it's been almost a couple of years now, we transitioned over to what we call the limited quantity model, which is how we've run most of our commander decks. We just do a one-time print run. And you show up first come, first serve. We try and estimate demand as best that we can. We want everybody to get the thing that they want. But we, aren't printing these ginormous print runs of yesterday, and we're not post printing and making people wait.
Okay, so I want to dive into some of the specifics.
Let's do it.
One of the things I like about this podcast is try to explain stuff to people that might not know. So we're going to walk through some of the dynamics of how Secret Lair works. So let's begin with the queue. Explain to the audience, how exactly does the queue work?
Yeah, so let's start with the very baseline, which is why we have a queue in the first place. Basically, the queue ensures two things. One is fairness, so that it's not just a mad rush of chaos, that people actually are added to check out in the order in which they arrive. And then two is stability for the website. So our platform and our payment processor, it can only handle so much traffic and so much throughput at a time. So the queue helps us moderate that. We've run sale events in the past. I think the most infamous is probably the first countdown kit, where we didn't have queue moderation. And if people have been fans of Secret Lair for that long, they probably remember what happened, which was instant website crash. So that's when we started implementing the queue and trying to make things a little bit more stable and predictable.
Okay, so talk about what the pre-queue is. What does that mean?
Yeah, pre-queue is a little bit of a confusing concept, so I'm glad you asked about that. You can show up, so almost all Secret Lair events go live at 9 a.m. Pacific time. That's the time that the sale starts. But as early as 8 a.m., you can get onto our website and start loading up your cart, get ready, get prepared, log into your WAS account, just kind of do some of the basic housekeeping so that when the time comes, it's 9 a.m., you're ready to check out. If you show up during that hour before the sale, so let's say from 8 a.m. to 8:59 a.m., once the sale goes live at 9, you are randomly assigned a position in the queue. So it could be completely possible that somebody who got into the queue at 8:59, and then 9 o'clock the sale started, or someone that was there since 8:01, that the person who arrived at 8:59 has a shorter wait time. That can totally happen. I can't emphasize the randomness enough. It's completely random. And then from there, it's pretty straightforward. Like you arrive at 9, or you get in there at 9:01, you're after the 9 o'clock batch. If you get there at 9:02, you're after the 9:01 batch. And it's, pretty orderly from that standpoint.
Okay, so the other thing about it is it tells you how long you're in line, but that number can jump. Why is
Right.
that?
Yeah, that's also a very good question. This is actually the part that like I secretly loathe the most, which is the unpredictability of the queue. So this is the next thing I really want to work on with my partners that help us run this website. But yeah, you basically should stay at your computer for at least the first 5 minutes of the sale to watch your wait time fluctuate a little bit. We open the queue with a pretty low number of throughput, and that's to really make sure that the website is stable, orders are coming in from all regions, the payment processor is functioning as we expected, so that everything for sure is going to be stable when we start to open the floodgates. So what you are assigned in the first 5 minutes of the sale is really your worst case scenario queue wait time. So if you get on there and you see, oh my gosh, it's more than an hour. I got time. I'm going to step away, make a pot of coffee, feed the dog, get the paper, whatever. You very well could come back and see your computer and it's your wait time. Your time is up to check out. So make sure you sit there for the dust to settle. About every 5 minutes or so, we start to up the threshold of the throughput of how many people we let through the queue. So it's kind of like everything steady, okay, up it, everything steady, up it again. And we go and go and go. And now we're letting our throughput has increased really significantly since this time last year. Like people will remember, I'm sure. The infamous super drops, Sonic the Hedgehog, our Final Fantasy, even our spooky drop last year, Secret Scare rather, 4 5 hour wait times, absolutely egregious, completely embarrassing, nothing I ever want to see happen again. We're now moving people through the queue at approximately 5 times the rate that we were last year. So our technology has gotten a lot better. Our partner has been amazing at this and trying to kind of catch up with how many fans are coming to our website and going through our payment system. So recently we had an event, Dan Dan, in the Chaos Vault. And that's a great example of the first time that we really, really pushed on and what our throughput could look like and how fast we could move through a queue. So we printed a ton of inventory of that deck, more than we thought actually was necessary. Yet everybody moved through, or most people moved through, and sold the item sold out by 9:30. So things are just moving now a lot faster. There's upsides to that for sure. So now, if you were previously waiting 5 hours, you now might only have to wait 15 minutes or 30 minutes or something like that. But also now you really have to get there on time. So it's a double-edged sword. There's pros and cons to both. Whereas before, you would show up and maybe it's 10 a.m. and you could still get in the queue. I just want to stress that, it's the throughput that has changed and our ability to process more orders, not our print runs. So we're actually printing more and trying to make our drops and products like Dan Dan as accessible as possible. So I just wanted everybody to realize that that's actually what's happening.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about how you figure out how much to print, because I obviously you bring up Dan Dan. Like one of the complaints I'm getting is people who wanted it, but they showed up and it was too late to get it. So
I
how do you
know.
determine what the print run is? How do you figure that out?
It's so hard. I don't mean for this to be a cop-out answer, but truthfully, when you are Secret Lair and you're working in a business that is highly experimental, we're doing things that are completely unprecedented before. We don't have comps to look at. We don't have things that we can say, this is exactly how much we're going to need. A lot of the times, we're just using the best information that we can get our hands off of and guesstimating to the best of our abilities. For the most part, we get it pretty close. There's been a few times where we've been egregiously wrong, that I feel terrible about from the past. But for the most part, we do get it pretty close. Dan Dan was very close. So, I recognize that not everybody got it that wanted to. People thought that it would be in stock a little bit longer than the 30 minutes, certainly, or thought they could show up a little bit later and it would still be there. And I'm so sorry for everybody that missed out on that. But yeah, it's a difficult business to predict, that's for sure, when your whole brand identity is tied up in being experimental and unpredictable.
Yeah, the story I know that really hammered it home to me, I just want to share this one, is so when we were doing the very first Marvel drop, we called it Sugar Plum, but I don't know the actual name for the public. I know you guys were trying to figure out how much to make, and it was hard. We'd never done anything like it. And so you guys figured out what you thought the right number was, and then you said, we're just going to double it. We're just going to do double what we think the right number is because we want to make sure that we have enough. And you picked a number you thought was right. You then doubled that number, and then it was nowhere close to what was needed.
Absolutely. And even then, the baseline assumption was we looked back at The Walking Dead and Street Fighter and some of those other drops that had mechanically unique cards in them and were UB and were highly coveted and highly successful. So we used those as a benchmark. And then we were like, just double it. Just double it. We want to make sure that this is a success, that everybody gets it. Could not have been more wrong. And yeah, none of us saw that coming.
Yeah, I mean, it is just to stress the. I have a similar job to yours in the sense that I have to sort of come up with things that we don't have precedent for. And I have to sort of, do I think players will like it or don't I think players will like it? There's a certain amount of guesswork that goes into, like, when you do something that you've done before, it's a lot easier to figure it out. Okay, I'm gonna do a kicker mechanic. Well, we've done infinite kicker mechanics. Oh, but now I'm doing something brand new we've never done before. And like one of the challenges I know on our end, in the design end of things, is, oh, we thought we'd be fine with this. We thought we understood it, and man, we did not understand it. And then you get like Urza Saga or different things in which, we thought we sort of understood something, and then in retrospect, we did not understand. And so I am sympathetic that it is. And the other thing for the audience to realize is, just for a timeline, if something sells, how much before it's selling are you choosing that number?
Oh, at least 9 months. It's our lead time is not short, and that's, not to say anything negative of our vendors or suppliers. But yeah, at least 12 to 9 months is really when we're picking that number. But honestly, if we could pick it a little bit closer, it might be a little bit more accurate. That's probably true. But also, there are just things that it doesn't matter. Like, if you would have asked me the day before Secret Scare last year how much Dwight Schrute on a Magic card was going to sell, I would have not had a good answer for you. That was one where we were like, we just got to pick a number and just hope that we are close. That one we knew would be very divisive. We knew some people would love it, some people would loathe it. And those are the ones that are just impossible to predict.
Okay, so the whole idea of this new process is to get things quicker, right? So let's talk a little bit. Sometimes things aren't as quick. People
I
want
know.
the roll for initiative drops or whatever.
Oh, I know.
Talk a little bit about why it isn't always so blisteringly fast.
Yeah, so one of the best benefits of moving to the limited quantity model has been that in excess of 90% of the orders that we shipped have gone out within a day or two of the sale starting. So people, for the most part, are getting their stuff incredibly early and as soon as we can possibly get it out. Starting, like I would say, late last summer, we started to have a shortage at one of our suppliers of a key raw material that became incredibly difficult to replace. So that delayed everything in the supply chain through the end of last year. And unfortunately, we're still living those knock-on effects through the early this year. So it's mostly affected at one of our suppliers. There's another supplier that's less affected. So that's why you've seen things like Dan Dan ship perfectly on time, and you've seen Turtles ship perfectly on time, but then Fallout, for example, was embarrassingly late, and then Roll for Initiative has also been embarrassingly late and changing by the week. And those are, we're not sending the quantity to the printer any later than we normally would have. These are purely manufacturing-driven delays, all from a raw material shortage and then vendors being so over capacity that they are trying to catch up and they're just not all the way caught up. So you can, unfortunately, I'm already getting word that for the next couple events, we will continue to see some delays. We'll issue comms and we're going to try and be as transparent about people to people about what to expect. But you know, I will just emphasize that it is our goal to ship within a day or two of the sale start date, always. And we are not passing off quantities any later than we usually would have. This is all purely manufacturing driven.
Okay, so you talked a little bit about how you're increasing the through, I don't know the
Yeah,
technical terms
our
here.
throughput. Yeah.
But something else that I know you've done, that one of the complaints I get a lot is about bots, resellers, bad actors. Do you want to talk? And you guys have done a lot of work on that. Do you want to talk about that?
We have, yeah. One of the first things we did, not exactly like rocket science here, we just took our cart minimums down from 5 to 2. We were like, you know what? Let's just make this a little bit more difficult on some of these bad actors. And the fans responded really positively to that. And we didn't see it materially impact our forecasts or expectations. So win-win. And that's been something we've really continued to stick with. And I don't see us deviating from that, you know, anytime soon. The other thing that we've done is similar to how we've upped our game in queue throughput, we've also upped our game in terms of protections on the website. So we've closed loopholes like queue bypassing through reuse tokens. We've closed a lot of those gaps. Our website provider ran some analysis for us, and the numbers that they had. I want to preface this with saying the only acceptable number is 0%. But the number of orders that we suspect are from bots or bad actors is 0.5% of our total orders. So again, not 0%, and I'm not happy until it's 0%, but relatively small in the grand scheme of things. So I hope that assuages people's fears a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that from talking to you that I learn a lot about is how often you guys are constantly trying to improve things. And I know it can be frustrating when something you're unhappy with, but a lot of you guys have been going through a lot just to try to speed things up and right, make sure that the magic players are the ones getting it and not other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we want fans to get our products. We don't want bad actors and people with nefarious intent to get our products. So that's our goal always, and to get their things as soon as possible. We want them to be in the hands of people who love them as soon as we possibly can. So one thing that I don't know if everybody realizes, but my team pours over the content and all of our social channels. So be that Reddit, be that X, be that Instagram, Blue Sky. We read everything that you're telling us. We understand the frustrations. We're taking notes. We hear you. My team takes it, you know, extremely hard when we're disappointing fans. We never want to do that. I never want people to wait weeks for their Roll for Initiative order while Dan Dan is shipping out, you know, the next day. That's, you know, not an experience I want to duplicate. I never want to ever see a wait time of 5 hours. That was just wild. And I never want things to sell out in 2 seconds before people can get, you know, a reasonable shot at getting it. Those are not desirable things. And I hear you when you're upset about them, and my team hears you. So, yeah, keep the feedback coming. We'll keep reading it and we'll keep striving to be better all the time. I'm not going to claim that we'll achieve perfection anytime soon, but I will promise you that we will continuously be iterating and trying to improve.
Okay, so one of the things that where I find some common bond between what you and I do is you guys also like experimenting. I love experimenting. So let's talk a little bit about new things that you're trying. Prince Charming, Chaos Vault. Do you want to walk through some of the new ideas that you're playing around with?
Oh man. Okay. So I did go on Weekly MTG a few weeks ago and talked to Blake about this. So if you want, you know, more of a deep dive, please go there. Or if you want to see the face attached with this voice, go there. You'll get to learn a little bit more. And hopefully I'm hitting everything here too. But yeah, the Chaos Vault is answering the question if what if Secret Lair had a Secret Lair? So that's our place where we try new products, new pricing, new sale models, things that are a little bit different, a little bit weird. And it's a place on our website where we can sell products to our fans that aren't necessarily part of these huge, like marquee super drops that are a little bit clunky and inflexible. So usually it's one drop at a time, it's a weird price, or it's administered in a weird kind of sale way, or it's a hat. You never know what's going to be in the chaos vault, but that's what it's for. And we had a experiment with a drop called Prince Charming, beautiful drop, that was right around the time that Lorwyn came out. And we thought we were having another like high five moment with the fans. We thought everybody was going to love this. We did a choose your own pricing model, kind of like early bird pricing, where we had price points that were below what you normally pay, the price points that you normally pay, and then price points that were above what you normally pay. And we were like, of course they're going to be, fans are going to think about, look at this and be like, Secret Lair, you idiots. Of course, no one's going to want to pay more than what they normally pay. So we only put 5% of the inventory there. It was mostly, because we thought it would be funny. We thought it would be a joke. We absolutely missed the mark on that. It read as really misleading to fans. Even though we tried to put it as many places as we could and explain what we were doing, people were moving quickly. They were making decisions quickly, and they missed that it is truly the same product no matter what price point you pay. So yeah, that was a humbling moment for us, and just a good reminder that, the joke doesn't always land. We have good intentions, but this one definitely didn't land, and that's not an experiment that it's in no way indicative of what the future holds. It was really us trying to have a moment with fans of like, we're going to give you actually the majority of the inventory below what you would normally pay, or at the same price as you would normally pay. And that just wasn't transparent enough, and yeah, didn't land.
So one of the things that's really interesting is how do you guys even determine like how you make a secret lair? You want to talk a little bit about how do you come up with these ideas? Because like, you have a lot of weird ideas and weird things. Like where does the genesis of that come from?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we have a ton of really talented people on the Secret Lair team and within the building on the Magic team in general. Ideas can come from anywhere. They come from my team, they come from people around the building. And we pore over, what kind of creative we would want to do, what's an artist that we would really love to work with. What's a property or a world that would be really interesting? What's something completely unexpected? And yeah, we go through kind of this brainstorm iteration process. Ultimately, everything comes across my desk and we, decide if that's something we want to move forward with. And that is a very simplified way of going through what is a long and multi-step brainstorming process. But we have some really great talents on the team. Steve Sunu is on the weekly MTG live stream with me, or now not live, obviously. But if you want to go watch that, he is well known in the fan community and he does a great job designing the products. We have great talents like Jacob Covey, our art director, Sam Strick, our creative lead. Everybody cares so much about this product, about Secret Lair, about the artists that we work with, the properties that we do, and then they are all made with a lot of love. They are not for everyone. That's not our goal. Every drop is not made to be for everyone. But if they delight somebody somewhere, then we've done our job.
Yeah, you hit upon something that I talk a lot about in design is like when we make a card, like what we've learned is if you try to make for everybody, it's for nobody on some level. Like pick your audience
That's
and
a
make them
great way
love
to
it.
say it.
And if other people don't like it, okay, that's not that the card's not for them because it's for somebody else. And that, one of the things I really enjoy looking at Secret Lair is how much you experiment, how much you try things. I remember in your alphabet thing, Demonic Consultation, the little New Yorker cartoon. That was one of my all-time favorite ever executions of anything ever. And so
I
that
love
was
to hear
fun.
that. I love to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's what's really fun is whenever you guys try something, I hear from like I talk to the players all the time, and that people get very excited, and the thing that one player might go, eh, another player's like very excited because you guys do a really good job of like tapping into specific artists or specific treatments, and that's th there's a wall at work called the Secret Lair wall, and you guys post things up on the wall to show what's upcoming. And when I walk back to the bathroom or my desk, it's like right, I have to walk by that wall. So I get to see it all the
Yes, my
time.
team loves that. They love to show off the things that are in flight and get the building excited because so many people that work in the building are such fans. So yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're one of them. Yeah, it's the experimental nature of Secret Lair is a really, really fun one. We have to sometimes take our licks and know that, not everybody likes the thing that we put out. But again, if it delights somebody somewhere, then we're happy with that. And we just will constantly try and strive to be better and better. We like reaching fandoms that are underserved. I think Sonic was a great example of that. Sonic fans don't get a ton of product. And we saw the results with that. People really loved our Sonic drop. So when we can hit that perfect kind of cross section of something that is exciting and resonant with fans and also is a fandom that doesn't get a lot of attention, that's a really exciting sort of cross section for us.
By the way, I tip the hat to Corey Bowen, who is the director, the designer that designed the
Yeah,
cards.
going.
I thought they were
Yeah.
super fun designs. Okay,
Yes,
so
so.
we talked about this a little bit, but maybe go into a little more depth of
Okay.
I really want the audience to understand the amount of change that has happened over the last couple of years. And
Yeah.
so we talked about the through the I keep forgetting the words for it, but
The throughput.
the
Yeah,
throughput.
you got it.
We
You
talked
got
about
it.
bots. So what else? Let's just talk a little bit about what else, just so the audience might not be aware. What else have you guys been doing behind the scenes to just make a better experience?
Yeah. We constantly are striving to improve the customer experience and navigation of our website. So I have somebody on my team, Jeff Malloy. He has been instrumental in trying to make our website as easy to navigate as possible. He's also on the front lines of working with our partner who runs our website and trying to make things better at all times. Faster processor, better payment processor, more stability, less bots. Like he is definitely grinding on that front. We also have just tried to make better products that people love. So we've done more and more. We've done a little bit more UB year over year. I think the fans have noticed that. We've taken some swings at things that we in the past would not have. One of the benefits that we see from the limited quantity model and not printing all of this excess inventory that was very costly and very wasteful has been that we're more agile. So we can do things like have a $1 Chaos Vault event and try a property that, we have, again, Dwight Schrute and Magic, Furby on Magic. Who's to say how that's going to perform, right? We can take some of those risks now because we have a little bit more of a stable and profitable business model going. So we will continue to push boundaries and to continue to try new things. They will not always land. I can promise you that, but I also will promise you that we will try and do better all the time. I don't want people to write off the Chaos Vault. That was something new that we developed last year, and there are some really awesome things coming to the Chaos Vault this year. Dan Dan was just the beginning. There's even more to come. So if you were really turned off by it during the Prince Charming event, I get it. I hear you. And I really am sorry about that. But please don't write it off because you could potentially miss some really awesome products and some things that we haven't sold before.
Okay, so before we wrap up for today, I know that it's called Secret Lair. So by the way,
Are
do
you
you
just
know
trying
where
to
the
bug
name
me for
Secret Lair comes from?
information?
Just curious, a little trivia question here. Do you know where the name Secret Lair comes from?
This was before my time for sure, but wasn't it? It was the area of the building where R&D used to be in the old building. Is
Well,
that,
what
am I
happened
getting it? Am I in
was
the ballpark?
R&D had a little area, and we made a little play area where we would play test. And so there's a card from an unset from Unglued called R&D Secret Lair. And so I put the card up at that spot. And so we started calling it the R&D Secret Lair spot because I put the card up. And so we just called it the R&D Secret Lair spot. And then Mark Hagen, who created Secret Lair, he took the name from that. So Secret Lair
Love
is named
it.
after an uncard for those people that don't know.
I
So,
love it. That's
okay, so
fantastic.
Secret Lair has secret in its name. So
Yes.
my final thing is, are there any secrets you're allowed to tell us about Secret Lair?
Secrets that I can tell. Let's see. I am in the mood to share a hint or two. I obviously can't say a lot, but I think that our fans should really pay close attention to what's coming up at MagicCon Las Vegas, in particular the Secret Lair Redacted play event.
Very much so. They should pay attention to Secret Everything. I might be very involved in this project, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I'm kind of winking at you right now on the camera. Like, I think you might be excited about this one too. It's very different than the last one. The last one we did was, of course, Dan Dan. This will be something, it's not that, it's a completely different thing. Let's see. There's probably, MagicCon Las Vegas, keep glued to that. You never know what kind of cats we might let out of the bag. And then I will leave you with this thought. We have last year we only released one commander deck. This year we have more than one. So we love commander at Secret Lair. We know our fans love commander. So if you love our pre-cons, we have some exciting news for you. There will be multiple commander decks coming this year. And then the last thing I will say, I'm not going to tell you where it's going to show up or when, but we will be printing Finale of Devastation this year.
Oh, very cool. Okay, well, Lindsay, thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing all the news about Secret Lair.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
But guys, I can see my desk, so we all know that means this is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. So I will see you guys all next time. Bye bye.